Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Craig Burley. We'll kick things off in the Carabao Cup today. Quarter final between Liverpool and West Ham. This is one-way traffic throughout. Liverpool thrashing the Hammers by 5-1. Nathan is at Anfield. We'll be hearing from him in a moment. But first, Craig, was this just about one team carrying the other team not?
I think they cared. I just think they were so poor in their execution. I mean, we saw a team. We had two of Shaq's old teams, right, in the last 2 days, Newcastle and West Ham. Right, okay, West Ham had the tougher task away from home at Liverpool because they're a much better side than Chelsea. But Newcastle have got this well-documented injury list and players missing, key players. They've had all these games. And yes, they went out because they shot themselves in the foot, basically. But at least they went to West London and put a fight up. Yeah. Mm. A rear guard effort and put a fight up. There was none of that in this game. And yes, from the Liverpool perspective, we'll get to it, that was a slick performance by a changed team. But from West Ham's point of view, the Jared Bowen goal in the park, the rest of it was an utter shambles. And I go back to my point at half time. This is the kind of performances that get tongues wagging about David Moyes at this football club, saying, look, yeah, we've had Europa League, Europa Conference success. Yes, we're in the top half of the league, but with the players we've got, what we're seeing on the field in terms of a product needs to be better. And it certainly wasn't tonight.
To the comparison with Newcastle, at least Chelsea put out, or at least a near enough full-strength team. But your West Ham, you come to Anfield, never an easy task. You see the six changes, and you think, well, yeah, we could have a go here. But at no point in this game did West Ham look like they cared, like they wanted to be in the draw for the next round. Nobody bothered to make a challenge anywhere within 30 or 40 yards of their own goal. To say it was embarrassing, and where I disagree with Craig, and while, yes, there will be, of course, speculation about David Moyes, there always is, unless David Moyes said to these players, don't bother to make a challenge. I'm not sure how you explain that. I'm not sure how professional footballers at this level simply refuse to make a challenge in and around their own box. I mean, the defending was embarrassing. It really was. And as a result, Liverpool just run amok. A very understrength Liverpool at that.
Here's a question. Why does it not make more sense for West Ham to put their best 11 out? Mm-hmm. And the argument from some would be, well, they're in the Europa League and they're in this. They're sitting eighth in the Premier League. They're never, ever, ever going to be relegated, certainly not this season, with the guff that's in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might say, well, we're pushing for another European place through our league form. But really, they're in that position where they're not at a risk of anything. So, you know, you go to Liverpool, you know Klopp's going to make changes. You know City are out, United are out, Arsenal are out because you've put them out. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, I know that. But A full strength West Ham tonight, bearing in mind the position they're in the league, would that not have been a better way to go? But he's made changes, it hasn't worked. They've been absolutely walloped.
Yeah, yes, West Ham in the Europa League, but you're in the Europa League at a stage where the Champions League clubs are now coming down into that competition. You're offered the chance of playing a semi-final here.
Yeah.
And a semi-final where the other three teams aren't really that strong. This has to be, had to be, West Ham's best road to any kind of silverware. Europa League and what comes with winning that aside, this had to be West Ham's best opportunity to win silverware. And to see that, I again, I I cannot fathom any kind of an excuse.
Nadim, what do you want to talk about? Good Liverpool or bad West Ham?
Well, if I've got time, I'd like to talk about both. I think from the West Ham perspective, yes, they did make changes, but the team he's put out there, it's not the first time playing together, because you have seen them play in other games throughout the season. You've seen them play in Europa League, you've seen them play in the earlier rounds of this cup competition as well. And I was stunned how passive they were. I think in the first half, there were times when they wanted to go and try and play out from the back. But then you could see that one or two players were hiding and didn't want to receive it, so that didn't work. And Liverpool pressed them really well. So then second half, they say, well, let's go longer. But they'd lose the first ball, the second ball, and then be caught in transition. So the fact that they basically took a back foot to everything that the manager probably asked them to do, I think it's hugely disappointing. And as you mentioned with some of those goals, like you've seen Curtis Jones walk straight through the middle of the team. And I know he's had a good game and he's a fantastic player, huge talent, all this stuff. But be competitive. I think at the end of that game, Liverpool feel like they ran more. You know, they played more channel balls. They were better from set pieces. They're almost better from every single side of that. And credit to Liverpool. They made their changes and they still had a good flow. They were still in a good moment, creating chances, taking chances, feeling themselves, feeling confident. But that from West Ham, for me, is just hugely disappointing because, again, there's so many times, I'm sure the guys would say this, where, you know, you lose games and as you walk away, you're disappointed because, you know, maybe things didn't go your way. But today, nothing from my perspective was right about West Ham apart from that goal from Bowen, which in the grand scheme of things meant so, so little because they were never in a chance of winning this game from the very first whistle to the final whistle as well.
Now, you get on a flight back to London or a bus, whatever it is, and you've been beaten. It happens, you know what I mean? You go to Anfield. It can happen, right? There's no doubt about that. But you go back, if you've put a fight up and you've created chances and you've made tackles and you've defended stoutly and they've broken you down with a bit of brilliance, you can accept that. And I think the supporters can accept that as well. I think what's unacceptable is just the very, and we've all touched on it, the very meek and pedestrian nature of how they went about this. A competition that is important for them. A competition where, let's be honest, there was more chance of them winning the Carabao Cup than there is of being successful in Europe again. Because they're in Europa League now, and Shaq said, you know, we have the Champions League teams dropping down there. So it's almost unexplainable how the opportunity was there. This was a weakened Liverpool side, not a bad Liverpool side, but certainly a weaker one. And to lose in the manner in which they did, and to have no shots in the first half, nothing at all, No real changes of any. Paquetan 57 minutes. The other changes not until the game was dead and buried. I'm actually intrigued to hear what David Moyes, if we get any quotes from him after the game. Normally, what managers say half the time is gobbledygook. But I'm actually intrigued how he's going to sort of spin this one to say, look, I take the blame, or is he going to put it on the players? Because that's five goals against Fulham, five goals again against Liverpool, and a side that's, you know, it prides itself on being defensively very solid. Not good enough.
After the game, Alexis caught up with Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen, congratulations. I mean, what a dominant performance. I know you probably would have liked the clean sheet because I know you're a perfectionist, but that was pretty much as perfect of a performance as you could ask for.
Yeah, that's true. But to be honest, I'm not really bothered about the goal we conceded. It's not nice, but in the league, it would have been different. It's a cup competition, so you have to get through, and who cares about a score sheet? In the end, we need to win, and we played an exceptional game. That was the most important thing. And from start to finish, we were dominant. From start to finish, we were really there. We played exactly the way we had to play against West Ham, because West Ham was 100% ready to hurt us. We just didn't let it happen. That you can play a first half without a shot on target of West Ham, without even a set piece, if I'm right, no corner, nothing. So that is so important, because that's a super strength of them. They wait for these moments and we are there. Oh my God, how can we defend that? So that's really important. It was absolutely top class, and I'm really pleased for the boys, because obviously we need them all. We have incredible amount of games to play. They played already a lot of games, so that means they have all rhythm, so we could make the changes, and it was a really nice watch tonight.
Just a reminder, next up for Liverpool, it's that little matter of Arsenal at Anfield on Saturday. What a match it would be. Nadim, I suppose in some ways it doesn't matter, but in some ways it's nice, isn't it, to go into such a big game after putting in such a nice performance.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think when you look at it as well, there were people who came off the bench who were being rested, like Salah and Alexander-Arnold, who contributed. Salah with his goal, Alexander-Arnold with the assist. And for them as a group, they look really, really confident. And I think that's a great spot to be in heading into the game on the weekend. And this is a game I'm really looking forward to, because what I like is obviously Liverpool are great here, but Arsenal are not a team that stay on the back foot. They want to be aggressive. They'll be pressing Liverpool really high. They'll be trying to get the ball out to their wingers, or to the forwards rather, going with the 1v1s, moving the ball well, and showing great character in terms of being able to go to any sort of arena and play the style of football that they want to play. I think that was shown pretty much in the game against Aston Villa, who previously, you know, had beaten Man City. And although Arsenal lost, I thought they were really good. And they basically, in my opinion, probably deserve something from that game. Obviously, didn't end up being that way, and Villa, you know, took the 3 points. But I think Arsenal are in a very, very good spot. And you can see today that Liverpool are as well. They had their frustrations at the weekend against United, not scoring, you know, given the fact that they had, 34 shots? But the feeling's good. The players are feeling themselves. You know, they've got a chance to go top of the league again. And yeah, I think that game on the weekend is going to be fantastic.
What's better, Craig, to have had this game midweek, comfortable victory, or have the complete week off as Arsenal have had?
You threw me there, because I thought you were going to say have a week off for Liverpool or have the game.
Well, no, that's not what happened.
No. What was the question?
Arsenal haven't played midweek, have they? Liverpool have, but they have played an easy game.
I think it was good for Liverpool to get that tepid performance against United out of the way.
Right.
And get some squad players, some game time. Yeah, I mean, the rest is great for Arsenal. But look, whatever it is, there's, you know, managers will make an excuse, or they had a rest, or we had a game, blah, blah, blah. The game itself is the polar opposite for Liverpool. Because no team, and I include Man City, in the last few weeks have pressed the opposition in their own half as well as Arsenal. Nobody. Will they go to Anfield and try and do the same? I would be surprised if they don't. And that is going to be a complete different ball game to what Liverpool witnessed last weekend, which was a team that basically were lacking confidence and sat in the edge of the box and tried to ask Liverpool different questions. Liverpool are a little bit of a side at the moment who are more off the cuff to me in terms of the way they play. Arsenal are a little bit more rigid. You kind of know what you're going to get from them. It's a hard one to call, but you know, it's not going to be the do or die in terms of who wins the league. But you know my feelings on Arsenal at the moment. I just think they're just a smidge ahead of Liverpool in terms of the structure of the team. They're defensively solid. The midfield's looking a little better. Havertz is getting some confidence. Jesus is back in the goals. And they're starting to feel good about themselves. The weak point for me in this Arsenal side is still going to be the goalkeeper. And that is going to be tested, I would imagine, big time at Anfield at the weekend.
The draw has just been made then for the semi-finals.
Oh, yes.
It will be Liverpool against Fulham and Middlesbrough against Chelsea. Now, these games are played over two legs, don't forget. Chelsea very much the happier of the sides, I imagine, Shaka.
Yeah, Middlesbrough a division below, and even so, not pulling up trees in the Championship. Chelsea very happy with this draw. Of course, and then You have a final, and then finals can go any which way. But at the same time, Liverpool and Fulham, you have to fancy Liverpool. Just kind of given how this everything's panned out, Liverpool have to see themselves as winning.
It's Liverpool Chelsea final, isn't it? I mean, it's a foregone. We're covering the semi-finals, you say?
Both of the legs.
Four games. Oh, I never said that. Look. I think it's unlikely that Borough over two legs, maybe one game, the Championship side could outfox a decent Premier League team. I said decent as Chelsea. Even they, and their shambolic sort of mode at the moment, can't lose over two games to this Middlesbrough side, I wouldn't imagine. Fulham less so, could be a fly in the ointment. I think, again, it's unlikely, but you know, comfortable draws for both. So, yeah, I think all eyes is looking at a Liverpool-Chelsea final.
Yep, certainly looks that way, doesn't it, Nadim?
Yeah, it does. It really, really does. I think you can see Liverpool being the dominant side against Fulham. And Fulham might get a result, but again, because it's a two-legged affair, you just got to sort of back the favourite. And I think it's the same for that Borough-Chelsea game. I think going up to Borough, that could be a great game for Borough. The fans will get right behind them. But Chelsea's quality, I think, overall will probably see itself through. And if it does end up being, not to say that it's a foregone conclusion, but if it does end up being Liverpool and Chelsea in the final, the hope is that this time somebody scores a goal. Because if you remember two seasons ago, it was 2-0 in the League Cup final and the FA Cup final, wasn't it? So, yeah, we'll see. Seems like those two will be destined to get there. And yeah, I think it's going to be a high-quality semi-final for both teams. But then also, when that final comes, should it be those two? I think I'll be expecting a few more goals this time.
We're going to move on, but Craig wanted it, so he's going to get it. Here's David Moyes after the game.
Did you make it too easy for Liverpool tonight?
I think Liverpool played very well. And, you know, we sort of praise them for how well they played, but obviously we didn't play well enough. The second goal I thought was a killer. I thought we were just beginning to grow a little bit back into the game. Not enough, but we gave them the second goal, a really poor second goal, which you know, made it really hard for us to get back and get any form of result.
When Gerrard scored, though, there was that glimmer of hope, I suppose, for you, but then obviously Liverpool went up the other end and then quick fire, it was all but done over.
Yeah, we didn't do particularly well in some areas for some of the goals. I think we could have done much better. But look, we beat Arsenal before we got to this game, and we probably had the hardest draw of all coming to Anfield to win at Anfield. So we've made a few changes tonight to try and give people opportunities, chances to show what they can do, also because of the scheduling. So we were up against a really strong opponent tonight, tough place to come, and that's the way it proves.
Well, they played like the Urawa Reds.
Half an hour,
35 minutes into the show before I could squeeze that in. Very prestigious competition, obviously, yes, that Man City played on yesterday. I would imagine David Moyes' words behind the scenes would have been a little bit more heavier and straighter. When he says Liverpool played well, yes, but it was made a damn sight easier by a West Ham side that basically didn't get close to making any challenges, any winning any second balls, squeezing the game at all, were not a threat on the counter attack at all for over an hour, well over an hour, till the Bowen goal, and that's very, very disappointing.
I like how you said the second goal was a killer. West Ham barely got over the half line.
Well, yes.
In the first half. I'm not sure why the second goal made such a difference.
Going.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Right. Anti-West Ham, way.
I'm just saying, it was disappointing.
We'll say thank you very much to Nadim. You get to go home tonight, yeah? You're close to home.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say close, but closer than yesterday, yeah? Yeah, looking forward to getting home, getting inside, a bit warm. And also, just to say something, if I can, in regards to Moyes there, he sounded like he was on such a downer. I think that's fair, because when he's going to watch this game back, unlike yesterday with Eddie Howe, he could watch his team and say, you know, we didn't have a ton of possession, but we fought. You know, here's a highlight. For David Moyes, he'll watch this game back and he'll see his team make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And to be honest, it sounded like he was sick of it in that little interview there. But, you know, this is the way football goes sometimes.
Nadim, thank you very much. Go and warm up. Just a reminder.
You wouldn't watch this one back, would you? Pure David Moyes.
It's right in the bin. ESPN AFC with you. You're here tomorrow, Craig, yeah, to reflect on both Girona and Real Madrid in action.
Oh, somebody has to be.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectra e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Barcelona would finish the calendar year in La Liga with a victory, but boy, did they just crawl across the finish line against an Almeria side who are the worst in Europe, yet to win a game this season. But in the end, Xavi's team would win by 3-2. Here is the Barca manager.
Hola, Xavi. Hola. Your team were desperate for a win. You managed to get so, but maybe not in the best way against the bottom team.
Yes, not in the fully agree, because in the first half we didn't play well, we didn't have intensity, rhythm. It's not the Barca that I want. So the second half was totally different, with intensity, with rhythm, with aggressivity, with the second ball. We won many duels. So second half, yes. Second half is the phase that we want to show to everybody. So happy for the second half, not for the first half.
This thing that you mentioned, that the team in the second half lately is much better, it's happening. Do you have an explanation to that, that the team changes or is not able to play fully concentrated in the first half?
Well, I think because of the last results. No? We played for too much tension. With too much tension, I think, no? it affected to us too much, I think. So the second half was the way that we played, that we showed to the opponent. Yes, I liked the team very much in the second half. So this is the way. It's a very big, important victory, and we need to keep going.
There were whistles, especially in the first half. Are you worried about this in your stadium?
No, it's normal. It's the supporters. But in my opinion, the second half is the supporters that we need. Everybody show respect for Oriol Romeu, for Iñaki, for Sergi Roberto, for everybody. And when we show our best face, so supporters are with us.
It's nice, the way that the guy from La Masia who fought the most managed to get that victory eventually, Sergi Roberto.
Yes, he's an example. He's an example. Very happy for him because he's the captain. He always helped the team a lot, playing, not playing, but today make the difference for the team. I'm really happy for him.
Just one last question now. I guess a difficult trip to Dallas just before Christmas is what you have to do with the situation. I guess it's not the best for you for preparation. And how do you think about the next year?
Well, I think everybody's ready to travel to Dallas to play against America. Everybody will have some minutes. We need to rest some players, but yes, it's, we will try to show the best face for the team and for the supporters there in Dallas. And for the next year, I expect titles, trophies, like the last year, like this year, 23. I expect in 24 that we will win titles.
So that narrow victory for Barcelona moves them up to third in the table, three clear of Atletico Madrid. For more on this, Luis Garcia is here. Blooming heck, Luis.
Yes, guys, not what we expected. We were expecting a good Barcelona, a Barcelona with determination to win it big, to leave this first part of the season and go and regroup and get back with maybe another dynamic, but definitely not what we saw. The first 45 minutes a bit better in the second half, but I think not because of Barcelona, it's because Almeria put everything on the first 45 and it ran out of steam in the last part. It's true that it was more creative, they created more chances, but the end product is kind of the same that we've seen so far for those the first part of the season. A very, very plain Barcelona, frustrated at moments, very vulnerable, very shaky at the back, giving opportunities to Almeria until the last minute when we saw Iñaki Peña saving that ball on the line. But well, 3 points, I think that Xavi must be relieved to get those 3 points and then go back, regroup, take the chat with the lads and let's see if they can manage to change this dynamic, because definitely they need to change so many things. They need to improve so many things, and I'm not sure if in this period of 2 weeks it's going to be enough to see a different face of Barcelona.
There's nothing I've seen for the bulk of this season that suggests there's any run coming of any note. Almeria, we talked about them. I mean, fair play to them. They are scrapping and fighting. They've got 5 draws this season. They've not won a game. They're away from home. They're bottom of the league. They will be relegated. And 2 set pieces out is what did them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they've not been. Look, Barca created some chances. They have not been taken to the cleaners. There is way more questions about this Barcelona team than there are answers. Way more. And I hasten to add, it might not just be about losing the title for Xavi, but how he loses it. Mm-hmm. And that could be his downfall. If they don't improve drastically in all areas, it'll be, I think, curtains for him, because that's how poor it's been. The way they were celebrating the winning goal looked, if you just flicked it on, you'd have said they're playing a team in the top four. They're playing a rival. The way they celebrated, not for 1 second before this game did I think this was even going to be a contest. Mm-hmm. It should not have been a contest. Maybe Almeria away. Maybe I'll give you a slight, it should have been a contest away from home, but not at home, and it was. That's how poor they are at the moment.
And Sergio Roberto shouldn't have even been playing, Luis.
Yeah, it's true that the needs of this team in the middle of the park made Sergio Roberto the captain, one of the most experienced players, to show. And I think that they've done a fantastic job. Not being in the last time that they was involved, it was on the 8th of October, I think it was. So it's been quite a long time. And today, 90 minutes, he will look sharp. He's a player who knows exactly what he's doing when he's in the middle of the park, the runs, the understanding, the tempo on the game. It was fantastic. The first 45, we saw him just raising the hand, telling the guys, come on, let's do this. But definitely was something different that we've seen from the captain of Barcelona. And those 2 goals, they could have been 3. I think that helped the team to put this first half of the season on the side. And hopefully, again, a lot of things to be worked. But you know, guys, that the dynamics moments can change it just for 1 game or maybe a week, that you can get a break and the team just get that confidence. So let's see if this Barcelona can put together something different, because they're going to need it for the rest of the season.
La Liga season, of course, well, certainly the calendar year concludes over the next couple of days. Some big games for you. Girona away against Real Betis in Seville, and that's followed by Alaves against Real Madrid. Those matches all live on ESPN+. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Xhaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Action in Germany today. Bayern Munich defeating Wolfsburg by 2-1. Harry Kane would score what proved to be the winner. Brilliant goal from outside the box. This is what he had to say after the game.
Harry Kane, thank you very much for joining and congrats on the win of the final game. You scored a goal. Please talk us through the whole one.
Yeah, no, tough game. Really tough game. I mean, I thought we played really well first half. We controlled the game. Obviously, went the 2 goals ahead, and then it was just a shame we conceded that sloppy goal just before half-time, because it gave them, you know, a lot more energy, a lot more belief coming into the second half. And yeah, second half was tough. You know, we struggled to keep the ball at times. You know, we was a bit loose with on the counter-attack. But, you know, sometimes you have to dig deep. You have to work hard together. It's been a tough period. And yeah, to come away with the win is really important.
Having a look at your goal, it's already your 21st. What went through your head when you took that shot?
Yeah, no, Tommy gave me the ball, and then I knew I had loads of space around me. So it was just about setting out with a touch and then kind of letting loose with the shot. And the wind was just blowing off the right a little bit, so I kind of used that to my advantage. And yeah, look, sometimes they just fly in like they did today, so it was a nice one.
A nice one also from Jamal Musiala. He's the youngest Bayern player, 20 years of age, to reach 100 Bundesliga games and scored a real nice one on his party game, I would say.
Yeah, these are the ones I want Jamal to score. They're the type of goals I want him. I want him in there, you know, making runs into the box, scoring with his head, you know, playing in his position as an attacking midfielder. That's where you get your 10 goals a season, in that six-yard box. So, yeah, really delighted for him. You know, he was fantastic with the ball. He really helped, you know, when we was coming out of pressure, holding the ball and then using his dribbling to our advantage. So he can be very happy, as the whole team can.
Having a look at the 49 Bayern goals, you've been involved into 26, scored 21 yourself. How do you assess this first month in Germany and with Bayern?
It's been good. It's been a really good start to the season. You know, when I first joined back in August, if someone said to me I'd have 20-odd goals by now, you know, I'd have bitten their hand off. So, no, I'm enjoying it. You know, it's important to finish before the break well. So, yeah, we can go away and enjoy Christmas.
First 16 matches, second in the table. How do you what do you think about the performance of Bayern in comparison to Leverkusen?
Yeah, look, they're doing really well. From our point of view, we just have to focus on ourselves, keep picking up points wherever we can. And yeah, look, there's a long way to go. You know, they've had a good start to the season as well. Obviously, we've got a game in hand come January. But yeah, there's a long way to go. We just need to focus on ourselves, enjoy this, enjoy the break now, and then come back. And it's the business end, you know. Knockout stages of the Champions League, final stages of the Bundesliga. That's when the business starts, and we need to be ready for it.
Allow me one last one, Harry. There's a new member to your family. How will you spend Christmas and the holidays?
Yeah, I'll be going away somewhere hot for sure. So, yeah, it'll be nice. Obviously, it's been difficult with not having the kids here, not having my wife here. So just some good family time, you know, go away, spend Christmas with them, play a bit of golf, hopefully. But just enjoy it, relax and get ready for January.
Great stuff there from Harry Kane. Great stuff from the interviewer as well. Very enthusiastic. Great coat as well. Harry Kane, 21 goals through 15 games in a Bundesliga season. Matches that of Robert Lewandowski, who of course went on to break the record, didn't he? Over 40. Harry Kane, certainly, if he keeps this form up, will do that.
I thought they liked Harry Kane in Germany.
Yeah, of course they do. Why?
No need for the guy to shout at him.
Well, I think he's just enthusiastic.
He shouted at him for 3 minutes.
He was excited, wasn't he?
Well, it turns out all this time it's actually easy to score goals in the Bundesliga. Oh, I'm only kidding. But, you know, there's some huge boots to fill, albeit 12 months later after Lewandowski leaves. But what that guy achieved on a consistent basis, I suppose, puts pressure on any striker going in there. And a bit like Jude Bellingham, in a sense, at Real Madrid, he probably couldn't have dreamed that it's gone as well as it has. Yeah, Bayern Munich haven't always played great. There's no doubt about that. And they can get better. They're going to need to get better, both domestically and in the Champions League. But he's doing his bit. Yeah. And I think the makeup of this Bayern team kind of suits him and suits those around about him, i.e. they've got wide players that are quick. So when he does have some freedom to drop off, then they've got players that can go in behind, and obviously they touched on it there. Young Musiala is when fit, is a fantastic, talented young guy who can float in and around Harry Kane. So yeah, he's got it all. He's even going to manage to play some golf over Christmas. How can you be happier?
To that point about Musiala,
Wasn't that really interesting? You're saying that's what I keep telling him what he needs to be doing. And that's what Thomas Tuchel would want. That's what you always want, isn't it, from your veterans to be guiding those youngsters coming
and
through.
And telling them where they need to be and when. And I think, well, one of the big advantages of playing with Harry Kane as opposed to maybe a Lewandowski is Harry Kane is happy to drop off into those half spaces, happy to have the midfielders run beyond him and he play through balls or whatever it may be. So I think from an attacking midfielder's perspective, it's an easier striker to get around as opposed to a Lewandowski who wants to be right around that penalty spot or between penalty spot and 6-yard box. And he's right. Musiala is such a talent with the ball at his feet. If he can add that timing of his runs to his game, what a player he will turn out to be.
We're a bit like that in this show, you know, as well. You know, we try and guide the youngsters through when they first come in.
We tried with Dan.
What do you mean? I was there first. How's Lewandowski feeling watching all these Kane goals, by the way?
Well, he's got enough. He's got enough on his plate.
He's got enough issues, hasn't he? The Bayer Leverkusen remain top of the table. They would easily beat Bochum by 4 goals to nil, and it's 4 points that separate them and Bayern Munich. Take a look at their form. Of course, this season, in all competitions, under Xavi Alonso, 22 victories, 3 draws. They remain undefeated, Craig. And it's incredible. And these sort of games, end of the year, you know, you're starting to look at maybe thinking about holidays, but you go in, you get it done, no worries, top of the table.
Oh, I think there's too much to play for to think about the winter break. I think when it comes around, it comes around. But when you're in the position they are, you're focused.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, all right, you might have booked a little holiday here or there, you know what I mean? just on the set. But, you know, you just want to keep this tremendous run going. You know, not only are they pretty solid defensively, Florian Wirtz is arguably playing the best football of any sort of playmaker in the Bundesliga at the moment. They've got Patrick Schick fit again. Boniface has been scoring goals. To be undefeated when we go into the winter break, as they are in Germany, is quite incredible. Mm. Just to not have a slip-up where, you know, you go away from home, you switch off, you get rolled over, you have to come back and sort of light your chops and get on with it. They haven't had that, so that's a great compliment to the manager. And the big question remains now, are Bayer Leverkusen going to be able to do what Borussia Dortmund have failed so miserably to do in this last 10 or 11 years? And it's go the whole hog and actually finish it off.
Yes.
Because they should have done last year, Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, 100%.
And once again, they faltered. At this moment in time, Bayer Leverkusen don't look as if the pressure is going to get to them. But come sort of March or April time, that's a different kettle of fish.
If you're Leverkusen, you don't want this Christmas break. You want to just keep playing.
Right.
You're playing with such confidence. Everything is clicking. You're never quite sure how that break is going to affect you. It's going to affect the chemistry. When you come back, do you hit your full stride? They themselves haven't been in this position. I think the other big question mark for Leverkusen coming out of this break is once the January transfer window reopens and some of the big boys come sniffing, how does that impact some of the personalities, again, the chemistry, everything just going so well right now, you don't want it to change. We'll see how they deal with it, but as of what we've seen so far in the first half of the season, there is no suggestion that anything is going to matter to them, that they are just going to keep playing and winning games as they have. To Craig's point, they've fallen behind a couple of times and ground out results with good football. It speaks so highly of who they are as a unit.
Can you imagine Xabi Alonso, though, now? As Shaq said, it's been so good. Right, lads, the winter break means the winter break.
Don't go skiing.
Right, no, yeah. You know what I mean? Don't anybody go out there and do something stupid.
Right.
We go back, we take the break.
Yes.
And, you know, Manuel Neuer would be an easy target.
Yeah.
But how stupid was that? Stupid was that?
Very.
So from Xabi Alonso's point of view, just please, he's got to be praying. I don't want any phone calls about any dramas. I just want our players to go away, get a good rest, and come back and try and pick the baton up where we've left off, which is not easy, but as long as they come back fit and healthy, then why wouldn't they?
For a lot more on the Bundesliga title race, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That drops tomorrow.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right then, of course, this is the first time we've heard from US soccer after MLS announced that it will just be playing its next generation team in the US Open Cup next year. This was the response. Major League Soccer has requested to allow MLS Next Pro teams to represent MLS in the 2024 Lamar Hunt US Open Cup. After thoughtful consideration, the request has been denied. Now, MLS then responded to this with a long statement. Major League Soccer believes that there are several essential goals and concerns that must be addressed in connection with the tournament, including developing young professional players and providing them with greater opportunity to play before fans in meaningful competition in a tournament setting, prioritizing player health and safety, reducing schedule congestion for MLS clubs, and enhanced investment from US Soccer. MLS is committed to finding a viable solution for the 2024 tournament and is working to find a pathway that addresses its goals and concerns. Moving forward, MLS will remain focused on increasing opportunities for up-and-coming players, a key component of the league's player development strategy that ultimately benefits the US national team program. Oh, it's a man who's getting a massive lump of coal from MLS considering what he's been saying of late about the decision regarding the Open Cup is with us now. Sebastian Salazar, does their response to US soccer make sense in your opinion?
Does US soccer's response to Major League Soccer's act make sense? Is that what you're asking?
Both.
Yeah, I think the U.S. soccer response is a little bit surprising, but the correct response, and I'm pleased with it. You know, the move from MLS here to pull out of the Open Cup was very clearly a move against a U.S. soccer asset. And so the only thing that U.S. soccer can do there is simply reject, you know, these reserve teams from joining the tournament. I think in that regard, U.S. soccer could have been much more harsh here. There could have been a much more nuclear option to go after Major League Soccer's Division I sanctioning, per se, because as part of the rules in U.S. soccer, you have to play in the Open Cup to be a Division I team or one league. U.S. soccer didn't go that route, and I think the response from Major League Soccer is equally measured. I think there's a lot that you can nitpick in the response. Are they worried about teams playing in the Open Cup for fixture congestion? I don't know. They invented Leagues Cup. They didn't seem that worried about fixture congestion then. Are they worried about the quality of the competition? I mean, this might sound harsh, but the quality of competition in Major League Soccer is by no means beyond question. So I think the reasoning that MLS has put out makes you question kind of why they did this in the first place. But I think, as we know, as we've seen throughout the years, certainly on this program, we covered the Super League effort quite a bit in depth. Money talks and money rules, and beyond that, control. And the bottom line here is the Open Cup is run by U.S. Soccer, and it's not run by MLS. And MLS wants to be, you know, playing in competitions that it controls and where its teams are monetized to the max.
But something needed to be done, didn't it? Said to Open Cup, obviously, it was a product that was difficult to sell. It wasn't getting the ratings. It wasn't getting the crowds. So how do you fix that?
Well, certainly not by pulling the first division out of it. I mean, right, the great thing about the Open Cup, and I know football fans around the world appreciate this, but in American professional sports, we don't have anything like this. We don't have David versus Goliath. And if you take Goliath out of David versus Goliath, it's a pretty boring storyline. So I think, of course, the federation has to look at how it runs the Open Cup, and MLS can evaluate its participation in the Open Cup. But for MLS to say, this competition isn't good enough for us, when much better leagues all around the world participate in their respective domestic competitions is especially rich. And then beyond that, and this is pulling back the curtain a little bit, but the folks who have been marketing the U.S. Open Cup for the better part of the last two decades is a company that's owned entirely by Major League Soccer. So if MLS wants to say, well, there hasn't been investment in this tournament isn't good enough for us, you can only turn around, look in a mirror, and blame yourselves. That's the problem here. Yes, can the Open Cup improve? For sure. Does more investment needed? Do they need better sponsors? Do they need better TV deals? Of course all that stuff goes hand in hand. But you're not going to get any of that with Major League Soccer pulling out the first division of the Open competition. I mean, it kills the U.S. Open Cup if you don't have the first division teams in there.
If it's Copa del Rey, if it's Carabao Cup, teams go out and we know they don't play their first teams.
Right.
Why did MLS feel the need to come out and make this statement when MLS sides always had the choice, didn't they, to play a strong side or a not so strong side? Why make this move?
It's a very good question, Dan. It's a very good question. I think what the league would tell you, I don't believe that this is the real reason, but I think what they would point to is what they call brand confusion. And they've got some examples of it, like LAFC playing in the early rounds of the Open Cup last year. They're basically using all academy kids or developmental roster kind of slots. They're not the first team players, what we would think of as the first team players. They want, you know, less games for those first team players. They want to eliminate some of that fixture congestion for the top level guys who they're going to have to deal with in union negotiations. That's kind of the idea. I think what would have been correct here is to, as you say, keep it status quo and allow the teams, each club individually, to decide just how important this tournament is. And this was not unanimous, you know, within Major League Soccer. I know that there were clubs that were not on board with pulling their first team out of the Open Cup. Now, at the end, majority rules, we know how things work, but I think that we're going to have to get to a resolution here, and it's probably going to be more something like what we saw in the past than an Open Cup without Major League Soccer teams. Because as I mentioned, that's very problematic for the Federation when it comes down to their rules.
Are you in the majority or the minority with these thoughts, sir?
I think of people who care about American soccer, I'm in the majority. I think the sad truth here, and a little bit of what MLS was maybe hoping would happen, is that there's not enough people overall that care about American soccer to make a real noise about this. I think what we've seen is that there has been quite a bit of noise, even beyond like soccer shows. You guys will know the name Dan Patrick, famous sportscaster, ex-ESPN guy, has his own show now on another platform. They were talking about it on his show, a mainstream sports show where they never talk about soccer. So this is crossing over in a way that, frankly, very few MLS topics outside of Messi do. So people are very angry about this right now. And unlike other things, Dan, where people can be angry and then it goes away, there's a body here that can act and is showing that they're at least willing to take that first step, the Federation. So by saying that MLS and ex-pro teams can't play, the rules are MLS has to be represented to keep that Division I status. So MLS is going to have to come back to the negotiating table, to the bargaining table here, with U.S. Soccer at some point in the next couple months and figure this out.
Take it easy, Seb. Take it easy.
Thank you very much, Seb. What are you doing to relax over the holidays?
Breathe.
Not going up to Connecticut to see those guys.
Thank you very much, mate. Much appreciated. More from Seb and Herc on the latest edition of Football Americas, which will be available for you tomorrow. Now, we're bringing you the top moments from season two of Welcome to Wrexham. Here's today's best of moment presented by Stoke, the official cold brew coffee of Wrexham AFC.
When the going gets tough in the game, you want to be on the touchline as a manager and you want to see those players who are going to go that extra yard to turn a draw into a win or a defeat into a draw. And that's kind of mentality, the strength of character, the winning mentality. Who on the pitch is not going to accept defeat? Of course, you know, you've got to make sure players who you bring in have got the capability to do that.
All episodes of the brilliant Welcome to Wrexham are now streaming on Hulu. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. No,
I haven't quite got over the Urawa record.
I thought it was that was coming.
Well, it's the record.
You only got one mention.
Extra time is next with two. Greg and Shaka.
No,
two. Urawa Reds.
Three.
What a team. What a cup. What a competition.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. It's just three of us today. It's nice, isn't it? Had a long day together. Craig's mood has started high, a little dip.
It's been okay.
I'd say throughout.
Well, I didn't have any, what was that guff you had on in my ear yesterday?
Oh, the MLS Super Draft.
There you go.
Yeah, well, there's been some other stuff tonight.
There we go.
Between that and Urawa Reds.
Yes, exactly. Good, right. Why do Barcelona fans always have to suffer, Craig? Can't we win a game in an easy manner?
Fans? Half of them don't turn up.
Yeah, Montjuic is proving to be a big problem, isn't it, for Barca? They've only sold out twice so far this season.
It's not the stadium.
Well, it is the stadium.
It's not the stadium, it's the punters. Fair way, the supporters.
Yeah, they don't want to travel up the hill.
Is it up the hill?
It's at the top of the hill, it is.
good walk, isn't it?
It is right at the top of the hill.
That's a question.
Have you been there, Sean?
Why do you have to suffer? I tell you why they suffer. I've not, but you've been there.
I've been there.
Yeah, it's up the hill, isn't it?
They're suffering because they're not very good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
I'm not very good.
Huh? Why were you?
I played there. Well, not in Montjuic, there, at, in Barcelona.
Have you been to Barcelona City, Shaq?
No, I didn't go to there.
Have you been there?
Why
would I ask that?
Just sightsee?
Well, I don't know, you might have done.
No, I'm not.
Taking the family on a trip, a weekend
What's
off.
The correct pronunciation?
Montjuic.
Montjuic.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go for a trip, kids. Pack up, we're going to go look at stadiums around Europe.
Oh, it's just part of being in Barcelona, isn't it? A contemporary...
I've been to Barcelona separately and I had no intention of visiting stadiums.
That'd be a good lads trip, wouldn't it, really? It'd be a really good, really good lads trip.
It's something you do with your... Well, I did it with Denise. It's something you kind of do with your wife, isn't it?
What, with the stadium?
Well, yes, because it's the old Olympic stadium. It's in a nice part of the town, up the hill as well with the old church thing.
Oh, there's a stadium. That's the kind of thing you do with your wife. Oh, look at... Let's go up here and...
Well, what do you do?
Stadium. I mean, it's like I went to Pebble.
I
went to Pebble Beach.
Exactly.
I go for
exactly.
Romantic walks on the river.
The beach. You go on the beach, Barcelona.
On the beach. That's what I do.
I saw someone get robbed on the beach of Barcelona. So that's why I stay up here.
Nobody gets robbed up there. Fans didn't go up there.
Wait for the pickpockets.
Some of my eye, I don't know where it is. It was just at the end of the show.
Oh right.
Around a bit when we were talking about that US Open Cup.
Right. Okay. Right.
I've just not been able to stop.
We going to make a point.
The point is, I might not make it through Extra Time.
Because of a bad eye. Oh, it's gone red.
Has it gone red? Somebody's been punching me.
What?
There's a queue of people.
Mrs. Burley at home with that doll.
There's a long list.
Just jabbing the eye.
Just stabbing in the eye.
Just stabbing me.
Let's put it on. It's working. Look, it's more.
I'm watching so much football.
With the teams remaining in the Carabao Cup, Shaq, would it be a disappointment if Liverpool didn't win it all?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big favourites now.
Yeah.
Fulham, obviously, and then Chelsea or Borough in the final.
Yeah, I know. I know who's in the cup.
Yeah, but I was telling people, I was making them a reference to bring the crowd in.
Oh,
bring the audience in, because you don't assume.
They need some of that up the hill.
Up the hill. Yeah, exactly.
One thing you can't do in this job is be presumptuous.
There you are, see? There you are.
God.
With
punter,
Endo.
The viewer.
Yes.
It's always correct.
Wow.
You've got to take that.
Didn't you just shout at the viewers 2 weeks ago for asking stupid questions?
There's an element of the viewership that don't seem to be able to engage the brain.
Okay.
When sending in the questions.
Right. Why are they German? Why are they?
They could be.
Okay.
Some Derek Reyes fans.
Will Endo picking up some form recently deliver. With Endo picking up some form recently, do Liverpool have to go shopping for a central...
Well, they didn't pick up... He wasn't that good at Crystal Palace a couple of weeks ago.
No.
So...
No.
And
he'll be going to the Asian Cup, wouldn't he, I imagine?
Thiago... Thiago's not defensive, but he's certainly a deeper. He's been injured for all of the season. Endo didn't play great at Palace. There wasn't a great need for a defensive... job to be done in the United game, and neither was there in the Palace game, so I think there is still a question mark out about his longevity in the starting 11, for sure.
My question is for Craig. I think he really dislikes Manchester United, and I want to know why.
Me?
Yeah, yes, Craig.
I think I'll give him praise more than anybody, and I'll give him stick as much as anybody.
You're very fair.
Right? Yes. What we have here is the viewer, as I told you.
The viewer's always right, Shaq.
A very paranoid individual here.
I see.
And that, I always say, paranoia, you can treat that.
Right.
You just have to go and talk about it.
Okay, go to a meeting.
You always say that?
What?
I've never heard him say that in my life.
All right, I always say, you could treat that.
You could sort that out.
I dislike every team, even the ones I used to play for, because I don't care. And one thing I can't, when we do this job, you know, one of the many things that drives me nuts is bias. It drives me nuts. I can't stand club channels.
Yep.
They have a job, that's what they do. I can't actually stand them, because what you get on there is just puppetry.
Mine was brilliant when I worked on my club channel.
What club channel?
Real Madrid TV. Ooh.
You used to live in Madrid?
I did, yeah. Oh, 5 years, Shaq. Oh, okay.
And what is it?
Brilliant.
Nothing more.
It's propaganda.
Than yes, it is.
It's complete and utter propaganda.
So, what you get is what you see. Man United, when they play well, I do believe they got a lot of praise for their defensive performance on Sunday, but the majority of it, they've been very, very poor.
Let's get to
the viewer is always correct.
Okay. You'll like this one. Craig, do you have any tips for people just learning golf?
Save some money aside for a tennis racket.
Right.
In case you can't hit the ball.
Okay. So you hit it with a tennis racket instead?
No, you take up a different sport. I think if you're just learning golf, is this a serious question? We've all started somewhere, but it's like everything else.
Patience.
Some pick it up quicker than others. Golf is a game, you can't let the frustrations get the better of you. Now, we have a friend and colleague who's not in here today. Although, the one guy in here today had a... I remember there was this par 3 at the old club I used to play at.
Oh, yeah,
it's a short par 3. Big bit of water in front of it. And I made him... He put one in the water, two in the water, three in the water. He was going to pick up. I said, you're not crossing that bridge until you hit that green.
Yeah.
And I think he unloaded the whole bag.
Incredibly, I play golf with both of you, and I would say that Shaka's more of a frustrated golfer than you are, which is strange given your temperament in real life.
What do you mean?
Because he's good.
Well, because you don't let it get to you. Shaka gets angry.
I get a bit frustrated. Now, Stevie, on the other hand, who said he's fallen out of love with the game.
Yes.
He's fallen out of the love of the game when it costs money.
Yes.
Yeah, it's free golf. But he used to get pretty patient guy, as you know.
Yes.
On the golf course, the least
first
patience,
hole is going home.
Patience I've ever seen.
Don't be late. Don't be late for a tee time.
And also, he gets really down on himself on the golf course.
Yeah.
I mean, properly down on himself. And he's actually a pretty good player. He's not a very good putter, which is where his frustrations come. But I've never seen a guy who's on the tee and he's scanning around holes in front, finding problems ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get held up in an hour from now. We're going to catch him at the seventh hole. Patience.
Shaka, what's your favourite Christmas movie?
Elf.
Yeah. Good call.
I love Elf.
Yeah, Elf is brilliant. We just did Home Alone at home,
okay,
which is great as well. Very good. Muppets Christmas Carol. I'd have up at there as well.
Do you sit and watch them or the kids watch them? It's like, I don't know.
Oh, no, my kids watch them.
Yeah, no, we watch them.
Well, I'm getting a lot of them. You know,
all Christmas movies.
You know, there's a channel when I go home, if I'm not watching something in a documentary, which I do now and again, I've got a kind of go-to,
okay,
as you know,
right,
channel.
Yeah.
And at the moment, all the old movies I used to con the air, I've watched them all, The Rock.
Yes.
The Green Mile.
Highbrow.
I can't get any of them at the moment.
No, all these Christmas.
Freaking Christmas.
Do you have a Christmas movie you enjoy? You think you used to sit and watch with the kids? No. Which leads us quite nicely.
Well, the kids are my kids are older.
Yeah, but there was a TV, wasn't there, when you were growing up?
Yeah, but that's
when
a long time ago, and you're asking me to go into the memory bank.
Okay.
That's I don't have that
right
answer.
Okay.
Sound of Music. That was always a tradition, wasn't it, Christmas Day when we were growing up?
I don't do a tradition.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Sound of Music.
Traditions for people who just follow like sheep. I don't do a tradition.
Right.
I like to do things.
You like to go for alternative movies like Con Air.
The Green Mile.
I mean, we'll sit the kids down in front of the telly at Christmas. We'll find a really good documentary about a cold case murder. It's fantastic. There you go. Dad, what were we watching? Well,
there
this,
we go.
Look at this. This was solved in 1980, and it was all down to forensics.
Yes, exactly. Because the bin bag they used was from
that. It was the blood splatter on the wall. It was the angle. Oh, I'm getting too deep.
For Craig, final question. Who do you
like? Question for me. Why not him?
Well, nah, you'll find out why. Who do you identify more with, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Who are they?
You know them. Steve.
They're just nothing to me. These
you
people.
Know them.
Because I live in a.
You know Christmas Carol.
I live in a.
Who? Christmas Carol.
I don't know.
She lives down the road. Charles Dickens, famous, obviously.
Scrooge or the Grinch?
Yeah.
I'm not. Nah. See, I don't. No. I'm in my happy lane.
No, you're more Grinch than Scrooge. Because Scrooge, you associate with being tight. Craig's not tight.
Oh, I'm not tight.
He's in his happy lane watching cold case murders.
Yes.
This is when I'm at my happiest.
Right. Takes all sorts. I'm definitely not.
I told you it was him.
I'll admit it. I'll admit
we're opening presents.
I'll admit it. Do you know what really annoyed me at Christmas? We go round up. It's not the opening presents. It was the mess.
Oh,
I'm a bit OCD.
Yeah, you want
I'm a bit OCD.
So
I'm going around picking up the paper.
Yeah.
Where was I? I forgot.
Who knows?
You've taken me off.
You know what really frustrating? No. What frustrated you at Christmas? Grinch, Lane.
I am many things, as you know.
Yes.
Right, and I'll admit to them.
Yes. Miserable.
I am far from perfect.
Yes.
Not that far.
Argumentative. Stubborn.
It is. You can accuse me of a lot of things. I am not tight.
No, you're not. That's fair. You don't feel that Scottish stereotype.
There are enough of us around.
Yeah, Mr. Nicol, however. And Stevie would admit it as well.
Right, all right, I'll give you three names. Right. We're going to out them.
Okay.
Steve Nicol.
Yeah.
Derek Ray.
Well, yes. Is Derek tight as well?
He's tighter than a dead heat.
Is
he? He's tighter than a photo finish.
Wow.
Trust me, he is.
I didn't know that.
That's two names.
When he's turning the bacon over, he switches the gas off.
Okay.
Oh, he's very tight. The other one, we have another Scottish guy here.
Yes.
Who works at ESPN.
Yeah.
He's a commentator, Matt Donaldson.
Yeah.
Another Scottish guy, and he's also tight.
Now, you're very much an anomaly when it comes to that stereotype.
They all give Scottish people a bad name, and I carry the can for Scottish people.
There you are. How are you carrying that can?
I'm carrying it in here.
Where's the angle that he hates? Okay, right, that's great. We're done.
That's the angle.
We will be back tomorrow for more of Craig will be back tomorrow. I think Craig and Kay are here. What's wrong?
One for the road.
One for, go on then.
Hurrah, we're red.
There we go. Join in Real Madrid in action tomorrow. Be sure to join us, Craig and Kay, breaking it down.